Psychometry reveals terror at Custer's Last Stand. Every school child has heard of Custer's Last Stand. It is an iconic part of American history and one of the darkest. On a hot day in June of 1876, after splitting his forces, Colonel George Armstrong Custer led his 7th Cavalry Regiment of 236 men into a fatal trap. Regardless of being outnumbered, Custer engaged Chief Sitting Bull's warriors thinking that he would have an easy win. History tells us that all 236 men were wiped out, including Custer. The Indians later claimed that the battle lasted for less than an hour, despite what Hollywood movies portray. What many people don't know is that simultaneously, a second battle led by Major Marcus Reno was being fought 5 miles away. Why Custer split his forces against such overwhelming odds is not known. A tragic mistake. Under orders from Custer, Major Marcus Reno and his men split from the main force. Unfortunately, they accidentally blundered into an Indian encampment. Though terrified and immediately surrounded by warriors, the small troop bravely fought their own desperate battle and eventually retreated across a river. Amazingly, some soldiers survived this battle, including Reno. Archaeologists carefully combed the battlefield. Over 100 years later, archaeologists painstakingly excavated what small artifacts they could find from both sites. Items recovered included rusty spurs, cartridge casings, old boots, arrowheads, and parts of rifles. They even found buttons belonging to the uniforms of soldiers who fought and died. Insights into the thoughts of soldiers and Indians. In the 1970s, a fascinating experiment involving psychometry was conducted to hopefully find out more about the catastrophic battle at Little Bighorn, as well as the other skirmish which took place with Major Reno's unit. Psychic Howard R. Starkle was called in to try and glean more information about what really happened during the two battles. Using psychometry on some of the artifacts recovered, Starkle revealed some spine-tingling insights. He was handed a spur found on one of the battle sites and was told nothing of its origins. After several seconds, Starkle began to speak as if he were the owner of the spur, sometimes recalling the battle in real time, sometimes as a spectator commenting, and sometimes as the thoughts of different people. Howard Starkle describes terror. Incredibly, Howard Starkle channels the information as first-person accounts rather than commenting on his sensing. Starkle, I was hurt. This was found in a desolate area. I was with other people. Close to a stream. Want to get on my horse. I'm hurt and want to get across the stream to an area on a hill about 150 yards away where I can defend myself. Starkle continues with, I want to take off a black boot. Shot. Am in pain but still running. Starkle goes on to say, now I'm crossing the stream with a few others. The larger group is elsewhere. People are chasing me. One has a bullseye painted on his chest. Starkle continues with, this spur was found on the other side after I crossed the stream to climb the high ridges in a panic to leave. Now, I want to cross the river and go north to the main body but can't. The enemies have backed away. They don't have time to play with us. They go back to fight the main body in the northwest. This must be Custer's main group he is referring to. Starkle goes on to say, this man did not survive the skirmish. Second session reveals even more startling revelations. In a second session, Starkle was handed a .50 caliber Martin primed army shell casing. The psychic impressions related from this particular object was as follows. Starkle. The user was a hostile Indian kneeling and shooting. Not too far from the water. The Indian feels hostile and angry at the soldiers. doesn't have much ammunition. A careful user of ammunition. He shot 3 soldiers. 50 yards from soldiers. Other Indians are closer and mounted. The recoil of the rifle hurt his shoulder. He has leggings but no feathers. Hair is divided into 3 braids. I feel his wife was killed in the recent past. He blames the army men for this. Hap needs south and a little west. A long distance up against some mountains. Starkle continues. At one point a lot of the Indians leave the battle and move northwards. This Indian does not. He stays to the end. And occasional shot is heard. He goes through the saddlebags of a dead horse. His shoulder is sore from the recoil of his rifle. The Indians are starting to scavenge things. This is truly an amazing account that portrays the terror of the Little Big Horn battle. It puts the listener right in the middle of history. When I first read this truly horrific account, I actually felt the fear and desperation that the soldiers were experiencing.